Hear you, my friend. Welcome to Uwe Boll Raw USA Movie Reviews with Gary Otto. And we've got Matt Bradley Sergi here with us once again. How you doing?
Good, good. It's been a lot going on. You know, we're preparing to head out to Vegas, as you know.
Yeah, I've been really, really fucking busy all month, obviously, because I'm getting married. And guys, we're going to live stream the wedding so you can see it live on April 1st. It's 1 p.m. Vegas time. So that's like 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock Eastern. And you guys can figure it out. But I will put the link to this in online on Uwe Boll Raw USA so all you guys can see it. The link will not go live until the actual wedding starts, and then once the wedding ends it will die, and so if you don't catch it live you will miss it. So but anyway, that's my little pitch for my wedding. But anyway, what are we going to review today?
We are going to review Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Yes, we'll do that first, and then we'll do maybe Dune. We'll see. But yeah. But yes, I thought Ghostbusters Frozen Empire in 4DX. Have you ever done this before? Have you ever heard of this?
I might. You know, they have so many different names for these things. Is this the one where it's almost like a ride where it vibrates and shakes and squirts water in your face?
Well, hold on. Like, in Utah, I had been on something called D-Box.
That's what I'm thinking of, maybe. Yeah.
And well, this is something else. I had been on D-Box, and that's, like, smooth. And, like, sometimes it's, like, even boring. Like, you can't tell anything. Like, I saw one of the Harry Potter movies with it, and it sucked. But I saw a Terminator movie. I think I saw Terminator Genesis with it, and it was awesome. But you can turn the intensity of it up and down on D-Box. So if you had somebody like who didn't like it, they could just turn it all the way off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But on this 4DX shit, oh my God. It was like I got my ass kicked by the movie, dude.
Oh.
It was fucking wild. The people behind me were like, the movie's kicking our ass. Like, it was fucking violent, dude. I don't know what the fuck was going on, but the seats... It was, like, more violent than Spider-Man, the ride at Universal, or Transformers, the ride. It was, like, that kind of thing where it was, like, 2 hours of being in, like, a motion simulator ride. Because, like, they have fucking water squirting at you. You're right. They had buttons for water. I should have known right there. But, like, the trailers, when I first walked in, there was, like, no D-Box. Nothing was moving. I thought it wasn't on. I was looking at the seat. I was like, what? I'm like, okay, whatever. Maybe it'll start moving. And then fucking it almost throws me out of the fucking seat. Like, and like every time they turn on the proton packs, it was like violently shaking me. I had to fucking grab onto the grips, the little seat, the little cup holders, so I wouldn't get flung out of the seat. It was fucking crazy. There was dry ice effects. There was lightning. Oh. Yeah, it was like fucking crazy, dude. I was like going to Wacky Town. It was a $25 ticket.
$25, okay. Yeah, for me to see a matinee, it was $10, which I thought was a bit expensive, but...
fucking, I mean, that's because I'm in Orlando. They have this crazy thing.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Course. So, but I have to say, like, you probably paid more attention to the film than I did. Because, I mean, there's some of it I can review, but because it did stop during some of the talking scenes. But, like, I can't tell if the action was good or bad because I was too busy fucking hanging on. Like,
right. It's, so, I mean, this Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, it is, I guess, the fifth Ghostbusters film, but the fourth one in the chronology that most people are familiar with the one Ghostbusters Answer the Call, the one with the female comedians, like
the female
Kristen
Ghostbusters.
Wiig. Yeah, the female Ghostbusters, they don't think counts as part of this. I mean, they made the movie, right? But it's its own continuity, I suppose, if you're the crazy
it's
about
it. It's kind of on its
stuff.
Own island. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they've done comics where like they cross over with the cartoon Ghostbusters and stuff. It's pretty wild. But anyhow, yeah, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And, you know, they're back in New York, right? That's a big difference from Afterlife, where it was set in...
Fucking, it was so weird that they just, like, they went from living in, like, Wisconsin or some shit, and then suddenly they're just, boom, they're in New York City, they're in the old Ghostbusters firehouse, and it's like, there's no explanation for this. How the fuck did that happen? How could they afford that, like...
I mean, that could almost be a movie in itself or something, but that I think with this movie, I mean, I guess we'll talk about the plot, but I guess overall, I would say Frozen Empire.
Well, hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, let's give our review at the end of what we felt overall.
Fair enough.
I think that we should start at the beginning. Okay. So like, let's, what was the plot? It was like,
it starts in 1904. There's like a flashback sequence in the Ghostbusters firehouse, but it's a New York City fire department thing.
Yeah, I remember that. And then everybody's frozen, and like then they introduce that relic, and I'm trying to remember. And then suddenly there's a big action sequence where I almost get thrown out of my seat.
They're chasing this this ghost. It looks like a dragon or something, like a blue dragon. It was in the trailers a lot, and you know, you want to open this stuff with action. That's how James Bond does it. It's a typical kind of technique.
But what did you think about like the way that they were interacting with each other? Like, it was like I felt like I was watching his father's film Evolution almost. It was very snarky.
Interesting.
I didn't really get a Ghostbusters vibe from it, even though Evolution itself is a ripoff of Ghostbusters. It reminded me more of that film than it did Ghostbusters.
It reminded me of, you know, they're trying to do, I mean, they have Finn Wolfhard in it, so they're trying to do the Stranger Things kind of, you're right, the snarky thing, but like, if they're going to be that smartass with each other, even though they're all family members more or less, the pacing should be a bit quicker. Like, something seemed a bit off, I think, with the pacing and the dialogue.
I felt like it was too quick. I felt like they didn't have a chance to think. It came across, everything was happening very fast. Even in the original Ghostbusters, when they were being snarky, there was still room to breathe. And like, maybe it's just because we're in a new generation and the quick cuts were quicker, that like, that was probably what it was. I bet you if the movie was like a director's cut or an extended cut of the film, that there was breathing room in between those takes, but they remove all that just to keep it down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I read somewhere that at least 20 minutes was cut out of this, and I think you can kind of tell because the story feels pretty slim. It's a different director this time. It's Gil Keenan.
I noticed that at the very end. I was like, what the fuck? I thought it was fucking the guy's son.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Jason Reitman doing it again, but instead he backed off. And Gil Keenan got his start in animation directing this movie called Ghost House, which I never saw.
I remember that movie. Yeah. That's from the early 2000s.
Yeah, CG film with trying to do a Ghostbusters kind of thing there, I guess, in a way with kids. So, yeah. And this, I mean, when it starts, I think if you hadn't seen the last movie, you'd be confused as far as who these characters are. They don't do a great job setting them up in this opening sequence.
I was thinking that too, that like the first film did a better job introducing all the characters, and this one just kind of like drops them in on you. So that's a good point. And like, I barely could remember some of the kids because they had grown, like the Chinese kids.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, he lost weight, got taller. Everyone has gotten, you know, older as it happens. McKenna Grace, I think, still looks sort of the same as
she's got boobies. I hate to say that.
Yeah, but she's I mean, I think she still is one of the best performances of this movie, and I thought that same thing about Afterlife. She does that kind of neurotic Egon thing because she's Egon's granddaughter.
She was better in the first one, or maybe she just had better material in the first one.
I mean, it was more emotional, and like you said, they gave characters room to breathe, and the first was more of a drama in some ways, and about grief and a bit more serious, and this is like, hey, we're wacky Ghostbusters.
Well, that's the problem, is that they tried to cut in that really stupid subplot about her and like the teeny 90210 ghosts. Like, okay, so Ghostbusters, the ghosts, they're always like mangled or disfigured or ugly. You remember the toys. You remember the cartoon show.
Yep,
so like, why is there like a cute fucking 16-year-old normal, hey, I'm just a fucking eccentric teenager from 1996. Why, what the fuck is she doing there? And like their fucking interactions, I was like rolling my eyes. It's like they're trying to like give them like a lesbian almost like love story. It felt like it was leaning towards that. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it was like so cringy, so like, what the fuck? It the pacing, it like slowed down to a crawl during those scenes with the stupid ghost playing chess with her. I was fucking bored, dude.
Yeah, it felt like a lot of times this movie felt like more like a TV pilot or something, because you have a lot of stuff it's trying to do in a short amount of time. And maybe like if this was a TV show, right, of Ghostbusters the Next Generation, you'd have like the lesbian ghost story be its own episode, or maybe a subplot over several episodes. And it feels like something from a different movie. Like there's certainly some that absolutely surprised me, and I was cool with it, but I'm also like, it doesn't vibe with so much of the film. Is, yeah, you know, it has nostalgia, right? And Walter Peck, the guy who is called Dickless in the original Ghostbusters, is now the mayor.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah, and he's still the original actor too. That's
cool. Yeah, which was cool. And it he goes on the same thing he harped about in the first film, where it's like, look at all the property damage the Ghostbusters cause, which is a joke I enjoy, but they kind of hit that note a lot of different times. I don't know, man. Like it's, there's a lot going on.
I hate to bring up another film, but I watched last night. I watched with my fiance. I watched Matrix 4, and that's a film that's kind of like, it's like self-satire, but at the same time, it like has to throw in as many references to the original films as possible, just so it stays a Matrix film and it like hits those fan beats. It's very self-aware, and it's like almost comical in some parts how like contemptuous it is of the audience. But that kind of thing, wait a second. So that kind of thing reminds me a lot of, I can't remember the fucking point I was trying to make.
Do you think this movie is contemptuous of its audience?
I think that I can't remember the point I was trying to make originally, dude. I was
It'll come back to you, but I mean, something I did like it, as the story goes on, right? You see, there's a lot more of Dan Aykroyd as Ray Stantz, and I think that stuff is pretty cool. Like he has the occult store that he had way back at Ghostbusters 2, where at the beginning they're showing the Ghostbusters out of business, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, he. The problem with these legacy sequels, do we want to see these actors like old and fat and breathing heavily and only showing up for the last 5 minutes? I don't know.
I felt that the adults in the film were the strongest part of the film.
Yeah.
Even though like they weren't given that much to do. Same thing with Bill Murray, but like the kids tried, but they suffered from that lack of development. Like that black girl, she was just the token black girl. She was there.
I forgot she was in the first movie. Yeah, I think she was kind of a romantic interest for Finn Wolfhard, maybe.
Yeah, like I feel like if they want us to feel anything for these characters, they need to develop more than just the main girl. Like it was too like vacant, and like at sometimes I felt like when they introduced that ghost girl, I almost expected her to join the Ghostbusters.
If the Ghostbusters had a ghost on their team, that'd be kind of cool. I like that twist.
I don't know if I like that, but you can like it. I think that would be super duper corny. It reminds me of like Extreme Ghostbusters or something. That's what I thought it was going for. I was expecting.
At Extreme Ghostbusters, that was the second animated series where that was one of them in a wheelchair like, or something.
Wheelchair. Yep.
Egon's the teacher. It had that terrible animation character.
Did you ever see that one?
I was in, I think, high school when that came out, but I saw a little bit of it. And in fact, when this movie came out, it's the first time they've done a release on DVD in the United States of the whole series of Extreme Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay.
Now they're charging $40 for it, which is outrageous, but if you really want it, it's there. But
well, you know, I think it's because it was hard for it to get released. People wanted it for so long. It was being bootlegged. And then finally these companies realized that there was a market for this and they were losing out on all this money. And then they released it and nobody wants it.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, we'll see how it does that. Also Ghostbusters with, I don't know if you noticed at the beginning, but it had the Ghost Corps logo.
Yeah, that's the company that Dan Aykroyd founded on the Columbia lot, or yes. It was originally Reitman, I believe, but he's dead. So
yeah, but I mean, they're clearly trying to do like a Marvel or DC Comics kind of thing with this, right? With the gazillion to make everyone drink from the fire hose, have a million series, have a million spinoffs. They have an animated series and an animated movie in development. Like they want to, push this stuff hard. And this came out just 3 years after the last one. And yet I can't remember much of what happened in the afterlife, the last one either.
I wouldn't expect the animated one to come out anytime soon because
animation takes so long.
Well, no, it was supposed to come out a while ago, but they keep making these Spider-Verse movies instead. And that has taken up all of their animation
division.
They even have a problem animating the next Spider-Verse one because of the crunch time. So because they have just limited resources and the cheap, I bet we won't see a Ghostbusters animated film until like fucking 10 years from now or something.
You're right, because it's Sony. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, with this plot, so at Ray's bookstore, you see the object from the beginning of the movie. It looks a little bit like the, what is it? The device in Hellraiser, except it's a sphere. The Lament configuration. It looks a bit like that, right? With all these little tiny.
Yeah, kind of. It does. It looks similar to that. I mean, it's some sort of like thing that has like a ghost in it, and then they have a new containment unit they've built that like removes the ghost from the object. And this is the part of the movie I felt it's like they remove the ghost from this sphere object, and like ice shit happens, like bad shit starts happening, but it takes so fucking long for it to engulf the whole city. It doesn't feel like a real threat. It was so slowly paced that it actually picked up like right at the very end, you know, right when that
guy a lot of it is just like the ball wiggling in this room. That's kind of like the Q in James Bond where they show off all the gadgets and things, and I like some of that stuff, right, with the gadgets, and I wouldn't mind more of it, but again, it does stretch out. There's not much story here, and yet there's a lot of characters.
Yeah, there's that new Egon's like crew that's like the replacement for Egon that feels like what is that guy's name from The Watch, the Indian guy. He sounded just like him, but he was white.
Camille Nanjiani.
No, not him.
You're thinking of the guy with the afro. Is that?
Did you ever see the movie The Watch?
Is that the one with Adam Sandler or something?
No, it has Vince Vaughn.
Are you thinking of
Ben Stiller?
You're thinking of Richard Ayoade?
Yes.
Okay, he was on the IT Crowd and stuff. Yeah, British.
Yes, he reminded the Egon guy, the guy who got his hand frozen, that was in like that a sling. He reminded me of like Richard Ayoade or whatever his name is. I thought it was him with white skin, pretty much. It sounded just like him, you know.
I never thought of that, but I think you're right. Yeah, he's a comedian, apparently. I don't recognize him.
James Acaster, kind of a dry humor, you know what I mean?
So. Yeah, dry humor. And I mean, the gadget stuff I really liked, but it's kind of the there's big pacing stuff, and you have Camille Nanjiani. He brings in that artifact.
He was pretty good. He was funny.
He's very good. Yeah. I think he gets the sense of humor, and his jokes and timing are more like the original Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah.
It's not like Paul Rudd isn't one of my favorite actors. I thought he was okay in Ant-Man, but he reminds me of kind of like if you can't afford Ryan Reynolds, you get Paul Rudd.
But that's part of the problem. That's the weird part of this movie, I feel, is that they have a lot of people that are kind of funny around, but nothing's actually funny. Like you think that Paul Rudd and all this shit, it would be a funnier movie than it is, but like the script is like flat, and like I said, they don't give them that much to work with. Like it's very like constrained in like a very tight little box. Like and like for everything fresh that they brought to the table, they rehashed something that was totally pointless and stupid, like Slimer. The
Ugh, that was
fuck?
disappointing. Now, apparently part of Slimer was like a real, they had a real like puppet thing for some of it, and some of it was CG. And Slimer seemed like much bigger in this one than in the other movies. And yet they do nothing with it. What does he do? He eats Cheetos, which is a product placement because you can get Cheetos Ghost Pepper Ghostbusters
Can
Cheeto
you?
flavor. Yes, yeah.
Yum. Okay. I gotta go get that. That's awesome. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, so it, I mean, that is just kind of
Yeah. Well, it's
pandering.
a
I think if you cut, I don't mind that it's the next generation of Ghostbusters, and yet they're not willing to go the whole way, right? You should just like, if the last one was about passing the torch, it seems like they're going through some of the same motions because they want to have Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd on the poster and stuff.
It really was like kind of a pointless film. Like I wish that more happened or was like a little bit different. It was nice to see it in my old neighborhood in Hell's Kitchen again.
Right.
Yeah, but like I don't know, it's like something old and something new. Like it wasn't fresh enough. It was nice that it was a little fresh, but I actually liked the previous one more. I liked Afterlife more than Frozen Empire.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know. I think Afterlife had a heart in it, which was good, and I got moved by the Ghost Egon stuff, which I wasn't expecting.
I thought that the ghost Egon, well, the way that they showed him when he was alive
Yes.
didn't feel very Egon-y. You know what I mean? It's
No. And but I think, you know, they did it with permission of the estate, and I thought, I mean, okay, so I mean that's one thing, right? With this movie, the budget was 100 million. The budget on the last one I think was 75. So that, while that might sound like a lot, that's really not compared to these
not.
Marvel movies that cost 250 or 300 million, right? And I think the effects in this movie, just like in Afterlife, were like pretty damn good for what the budget was. Like,
Yeah.
is the ice effect like the most threatening thing in the world? Not really. It looks like a Mortal Kombat Sub-Zero like attack animation or something.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really think of it that way. Like I think that
I think the problems with the script, essentially.
I don't think the
Yes.
problems with any of the actors or the director or maybe the editing slightly. But like I don't know. It was kind of it needed work, you know. I don't know, like the setting was fine, all that shit was fine, but like they needed like something more to happen. And they needed a better like intro in, like a better starting point in. You know, it didn't feel organic to me. Like the first one, the other one, not it's not even the first one, the other one felt more organic. It felt more natural. Even though it was
Yeah.
essentially a recreation of the original Ghostbusters.
Well, sure, down to the bad guys and the afterlife being the same as in the first one. And this one consequently feels more like Ghostbusters 2, I think, where it felt
Yeah.
like it was sort of rushed into production and they're a bit greedy making it, and you're sort of playing it a bit safe. It feels, not that the first Ghostbusters like is a dark film or anything, but there's something that feels more.
Ghostbusters 2, they knew that they had a hit, and they knew
Yes.
that they went in with the merchandising with that mindset. Like Batman
That's right.
89 made 5 times its box office budget in merchandising. Ghostbusters, I don't know the number, but I'm sure it was high like that. And Ghostbusters 1 was a surprise hit. So going into 2, like they thought ahead of time, toys, mass market, mass saturation, like the demographic and all that other shit. So like I feel like that's why I feel that Bill Murray says that he didn't like the film, because the script was different when he signed on. Then the fucking suits get a hold of that, it gets stuck through like a committee, and then it's a totally different film than what he signed on for, and it's filled with all this fucking bloated shit. You know what I mean? And he's already signed the contract and he's already agreed to be in it. He can't back out, or they'll fucking take him to court and he'll go bankrupt.
Yeah, because he
So
talks such shit about Ghostbusters 2 on the talk
that's
to
what it is. That's right.
Yeah, they gagged him basically. So, but
the original script was that he was in another country or something, wasn't it?
Oh, really? Huh. Yeah, that would have been more interesting. I think
it was a different setting.
Yeah, and so you're bringing the old people back, as we said. You do have Annie Potts is back as Janine, and she gets to put on the Ghostbusters uniform and has kind of a hand cannon.
But she doesn't do anything.
No, that's the thing. Like, they made a big deal in the promotions. Like, how does it feel to be a Ghostbuster? And at least in the promotional materials, they're like, oh, yeah, we decided that on set. And Annie Potts was all game for it, blah, blah, blah. But it's to what end? And also, if you're going to bring, why not bring back Sigourney Weaver? I think that's what puzzles me the most, right? She is a big romantic interest for Venkman.
She's probably very expensive. Look at the budget.
You think? Maybe, yeah.
I bet that's it, dude.
Or maybe she wouldn't do it unless the part was like something meatier, as opposed to, because she did pop up in the female Ghostbusters ones. For like a 5-second cameo or something. But yeah, I mean, there's some okay moments. And there's some stuff I liked in the film, there's some stuff I don't. I feel mixed. I don't think it's a bad movie, but I think it takes the easy way out. Too much. You even go to the library, for God's sake, from the first film. Why?
Yeah, I think it's just because, like I said, like, that's what the point I was making is that, like, they have to throw in something that the audience will accept if they're going to change things up. If they change it too much, like Terminator Genesis, the audience will be like, wah. It's bullshit, but like they have to, when a sequel comes, they have to kind of, you know, show you what you're expecting and then throw in something new. Because if they don't give you like what you're expecting, I guess, then you'll feel let down or the fans will feel let down. So the movie does a lot of fan service. The movie throws in a lot of stupid things, just like Afterlife did. Like those Stay Puft Marshmallow Man are still around for no reason.
They're doing the Minions with the fucking God. I hate that. Yeah, no, that's.
Yeah, they're probably around just because they tested well. You know what I mean? But
well, and the merchandising. I mean, I went, I posted a review of this on my Substack, and I looked at the official Ghostbusters Frozen Empire website, and there's a section for recipes, but it's only one recipe, and it's how to make s'mores with a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man looking miniature person.
Do they actually make those to eat?
No, but you can, I think with like blue licorice and something, you can make your own. It's not a very good recipe, to be honest. I was...
Basically, you would just pretend that you were eating.
Like, yes.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
yeah, but it's... But I mean...
Well, you know, the product placement in this is nowhere near as bad as Hollywood has been in the past. Look at like Godzilla 85. You know what I mean?
Well, with the Dr. Pepper, was that one?
Yes.
Right?
There's plenty of fucking examples of really stupid product placement in movies. So I think this was light. It could have been much worse, you know?
No, I think it's tasteful as far as that stuff.
Like
goes.
Little Nicky with Adam Sandler and his fucking Popeye's chicken.
Popeye's chicken is awesome. Man, I dated a girl once and she said, oh, I have a great movie we're going to watch. You're going to love this. And I said, oh and it was Little Nicky. I'm like, oh, shit. Like I hadn't seen it, and Adam Sandler's all right, but yeah, that one was rough. It's like,
I've sat down to plenty of shitty movies that people have made me watch that they think I'm gonna love, and like I'd say like half and half. It's like half the time I'll actually really like it, or other half I'll be like, what the fuck.
The absolute worst one of those was an ex-girlfriend. I thought I could get together with her again at the time or something. And she had me over to watch Black Knight with Martin Lawrence.
Oh God.
And like, I didn't laugh at all. And she just like stared at me. And at the end she goes, well, I guess this one was really better in the theater. And like, I nearly walked out of the room. Just appalled. I'm not like usually that picky. I have my opinions, but geez. But anyhow, yeah. With the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, like, I'm glad I supported it in the theaters. I'm a Ghostbusters fan, but I really hope they mix things up. Like, go to a different country. Go to a different dimension, man. Do you remember the idea they originally were supposed to do for Ghostbusters 3?
About going to hell.
Yes.
They it never got made because of the budget. That's the biggest problem, is that
I think the budget
these days.
Yeah, the budget. And then all the main actors and the director had to agree to do it, and Bill Murray wouldn't agree to do it. Yeah, but
notice that in this one, he didn't act too hammy. I bet you that he didn't want to like be the a comedic support. He didn't want to be the crutch. So he was able to play the role pretty much straight with just a few quips. You know what I mean? He probably had some kind of weird demand to come back, you know?
He has been doing more serious, I mean, like Steve Martin or something like that, right? Where they've been doing more serious stuff lately. And they don't want to.
Did you ever see that movie with Steve Martin? What the fuck was it? The one with him, that fucking one. What the fuck was it?
Was it Shop Girl or one of those? Or
I saw Shop Girl. That was good, but the one with him and that guy from that Julia Roberts movie where he has cancer. Do you know what I'm talking about? That
no.
actor. Fuck. The one about the process. Do you remember? Do you know what I'm talking about? And Steve Martin like swindles this guy. No.
Oh,
I think it was David Mamet.
Oh, okay. The Spanish Prisoner.
The
yes.
Spanish Prisoner.
I
yes.
have not seen that in 25 years, but sure.
Dude, yeah. That movie was so fucking awesome. I love that movie.
Yeah,
oh my God.
It was cool to see him against type.
Yeah, he should have done that more. I mean, he's a little too old now, but that was fucking a good movie. And he did a really good job. I was surprised.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Ghostbusters. Yeah.
There's like as you were implying, you know, eventually with these plot twists and stuff, Garaka, I guess, is it? Did they even say? I guess they say the name of the bad guy, Ice Ghost or whatever, comes out. And when that happens and they fight him, do you think that was a satisfying battle at the end? Because you always have this big climactic battle in these movies.
No, I didn't feel that. I felt that everything happened too late and not enough stuff happened when things went wrong. You know, I understand kind of with the budget, but I don't know. It was anticlimactic. It was not as, it was kind of funny with the guy from Stuber or whatever.
Yep.
You know what I mean? As the fire god or whatever, the fire, whatever. That was kind of cool, but like overall, I felt that there was more to be desired. It wasn't as funny as any of the other Ghostbuster endings. See what I mean? Like Ghostbusters 2 and the original.
Mm. Right. You didn't have you didn't have like the Statue of Liberty walking or.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't even funnier. Like it wasn't as funny as those. Like, I don't even remember from Ghostbusters 2 what would be funny, but it was still funnier than this. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, it has. I mean, some of it was sort of melancholy, too. I mean, the marketing for this didn't have a lot of jokes. And with allegedly, you know, 20 minutes or more of scenes cut out of this, I wonder, they said they're not going to be a director's cut, but they mentioned they hope the deleted scenes are on, you know, the digital download or whatever DVD or whatever the hell they release it on. I think the story is okay. Okay, the script just feels half-baked, and I think the structure is what slows it down, because you could, had you done more with Camille Nanjiani as like doing the fire stuff earlier and kind of peppered stuff in and had a leaner amount of characters and at 115 minutes,
something rewarding, something rewarding.
Yes.
Like he needed to become a Ghostbuster at the end or something, you know? Like,
right.
Some sort of transformative moment, you know?
And then it was at the end, you have the scene where, of course, they go out of the firehouse and everyone's celebrating. And for some reason, Dan Aykroyd doesn't have his Ghostbusters uniform on. He took it off and he has a black shirt, but everyone else has the uniform on. And it's like, was he just getting sweaty on set or something? Like, it's really that, I don't know. When I'm paying attention to that, you know your movie's in trouble. But I'm like, that's such a weird choice.
Yeah. No, I didn't even notice that. That's funny. But out of 5, what would you give Ghostbusters Fall, whatever the fuck, Frozen Empire? What would you give this?
I would give it maybe 2.5, I think. I gave it a 3 when I did my Letterboxd review, but I'm going to now that we've talked about it, I like it less. So maybe 2.5. I think it just needed creativity, and it just felt a bit rote in the same way Ghostbusters 2 did. I don't think it's a bad movie. There's some fun stuff in there. The gadgets I enjoyed, but this is not.
I'd say 2.5 is probably pretty accurate. Not that I think about it. Like, it doesn't deserve a 2. It doesn't deserve a 3. So it's got to be 2.5. So I generally agree. Like, it's weird though, because I would give Afterlife 2.5 as well, even though I like that better. But I wouldn't quite give that a 3 either. So it's weird.
That one was a really slow burn. I'm glad in this one you didn't have Ghost Egon show up at the end, because that would have felt really cheap. I half expected them to do it where they're like, oh, we can't push the containment unit off.
That would have been funny. That would have been funny. But so, guys, why don't you follow us on Twitter? Matt is Matt, MATWBT, right? On Twitter?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yep. And I am Gary Auto Zero. I will put that link for The Wedding online, and you guys can watch. And that's on April 1st. It's coming up real soon. So
April 1st, say the time again.
It's at 1 o'clock Las Vegas time. That's Mountain time, I believe. Right? No.
Let me look that up. I should know that. I've been to Vegas a bunch.
It is
Pacific.
Pacific. So 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern.
Is Uwe going to be watching it too? Is that true?
Yes, he is. Awesome. He can't be there. He would have been there, but it's just too close to the shoot, and he's in another country. I think they're in Croatia. I can't remember off the top of my head, but he was doing scouting, and it was going well. Hopefully we'll be able to do a show soon. That's the reason why there's been kind of a long absence, is because he's busy, I'm busy, and like, you know, once we get less busy, once the film's shot, I think the film starts on the 14th. And they're only going to shoot for like probably 10 days or something. So, you know, we will talk to you guys next time. Peace. Thank you, Matt.
Yep.